Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We're off and running on Monday, September the 9th, 2024. We're beginning in January our 15th year with the radio program and our 37th year in media here in Tucson. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're part of the Bustos Media Company. We've got five radio stations now under one roof here, including a very popular one, our newest acquisition, The Drive 101.7. This one is KVOI 1030, The Voice. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and the live line when we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday one-on-one, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. In other words, Moe make house calls. He'll go out, make sure that the work that they have framed goes up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Skurin is our Monday one-on-one guest. It's good to bring Coach Skurin back. It's been about a year. Jeff is one of the winningest football coaches in America. His record as a high school and college coach, truly remarkable, 300-plus wins. He's been named Coach of the Year 15 times in four states, state all-star coach four times, won 18 league championships, and engineered turnaround seasons multiple times. He was selected as National Coach of the Year in 2007 for taking the Santa Rita Eagles here in Tucson from 0-10, had a 0-10 season, to 11-2, the biggest turnaround in state history. His incredibly successful half-century coaching career even includes did some coaching professionally in Italy and Germany. Most recently, he was the head football coach for two seasons at Rio Rico High School. That was in 2022 and 2023. Coach Skurin, good to see you.
Always good to see you, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing well. This is your, what, fourth time trying retirement? Four times.
I can't help it. It's just how things seem to work out.
What does it last, about a year or what?
Yeah, that's about it. Or the first time somebody dangles something in front of my nose that looks like a real challenge. But mostly, particularly this last one, you know, where we really want to help kids educationally and use sports as the catapult that kind of lifts kids back into school and gets them energized and gets the student body excited. And you know, I'm just the guy that thinks that whether it's sports or whether it's drama or whether it's art or band or music, whatever a kid wants to do, if you can get a kid excited about coming to school and energizing their day, I don't see what is the difference. That anything that works with teenagers that gets them moving forward and energized, that's great. And if you're out there, if you have one of those kids that does that, you know, on their own, wonderful. That's wonderful. You're a lucky person, and I'm guessing you probably did some great parenting along the way.
How are things changing though in the coaching field? I mean, my God, you've been around forever.
Well, strategic wise, there's always changes, and that's part of the fun of longevity in coaching. Is you don't make that doesn't happen unless you're willing to adapt to the new rule changes, the new styles, new inventions and strategy. And of course the kids get interested and influenced by what they see on television, and they want to do that. Mm-hmm. And so that part's kind of fun. The other part is more of a challenge, because really kids, and particularly teenagers themselves, just don't change that much. They are the same creature to me that they've kind of always been. It's really society around us that's changed, particularly the technology, the cell phone, and those things. And we could do a couple hour discussion on that part alone. But that part's the challenge, and how you adapt to that. And I really think that a team sport like football and many others out there has this way of, you know, we have to communicate face to face. We have to we to be successful, you still have to teach the old school. You know, and I think it's really a good thing, because in the end, that's who we are. We're not some creature on a screen. We're a person face to face. And the more we do that, and that has to happen in sports. Now, no matter how much technology we bring in, no matter how much analytics are part of the game, it's still face to face communication with a group, a team that makes, that drives you to success. Without that, you know, the old expression in football, you can't win without winning the locker room.
Mm-hmm. Well, look what happened here, the way professional college sports have become like professional sports, with this whole thing of the, what do they call it, the likeness and...
NIL.
Yeah, NIL.
Name, image, likeness.
Look at that. And then you get a team like Northern Illinois that goes to Notre Dame, and they're actually paid. And Northern Illinois made $1.5 million by going to South Bend to then pull off one of the biggest upsets in college history.
Yeah, you know, that's there was Urban Meyer, former coach at Florida, national championships at Ohio State and Florida, and had a success everywhere he's ever been. And he's come out and talked about it. And of course, the amazing Nick Saban, just retired from Alabama, mm-hmm. with all of what, 6 national championships, one of the greatest coaches of my lifetime. And they've kind of out and basically said the same thing. You could have all the money in the world, but you got to hire the right people. Mm-hmm. And that's true of any business. I do a lot of my work now, Bill, in consulting for corporations and doing speeches. And it is the same thing. You know, you have to have the right people. Yeah, I call it the sports metaphor. And it's really, you know, what I do as a head coach and what you do as the leader of a business or a project or anything like that, it's really the same. The difference is I have 5,000, 80,000, whatever the number is, millions on TV. I have those people looking over my shoulder that you don't have in your boardroom. Mm-hmm. You know, you have your people, but it's not those numbers. And everybody today is an expert. You know, you could look online, you grab somebody's opinion. It's quick and dirty, but everybody's an expert. You know, we saw that in COVID. We saw that with every kind of technology thing, TikTok now. Everybody knows everything because they read it online. Mm-hmm. And of course, those of us in the business know that's probably the worst place to get your information.
Yeah.
You know, and now we see it being influenced by bad actors from foreign nations. And it's the truth. It's still what you do face to face with people. You know, can you get the job done? And I like to say, can we win today? Mm-hmm. You know, we think way too long term. If we take care of those little things, if we dot the I's, we cross the T's, and we win today, that baby step, that's the path to success. And that hasn't changed.
So your advice to these companies when you do these motivational thing is win today.
Win the moment. Win the moment. The job. You take on a project. You know, the first thing you got to do is you got to get your people on board. Mm-hmm. You might have to change some culture to do that. That may not be the way they did it before. And just because we did it before and we were okay doesn't mean that's the best path. But you can't, you're not a knight with a white suit and a lance and a big flag that you ride in and people go, wow, this is great, let's do it. It's just not how it works. You have to work on it by communicating. You have to work on it by showing people the way that you want it to be done. You know, it's all about training. It's all about supervision. It's all about being, you know, working the team aspect and creating a comfort zone so people feel free to be themselves and contribute to the larger effort. And how we do that together, that seems to be the key in anything. Because I can't take kids into the locker room and into my team and say, hey, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they're the best athlete in the world, it's mm-hmm. still, you know, you could have the best passer in the world. And without a line to protect the quarterback and without a receiver to catch the ball, it doesn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. It takes that group. It's not just strategy. It's not just players. It's not just this or that. It's that whole combination of things working together. And to do that, you have to create a culture where that's the norm. That's acceptable, where people are comfortable doing that. Because most people have some great ideas. They're very creative. If they feel, you know, competent in their own abilities, if they feel like the situation is okay, that I don't have to be afraid to get up and speak. Just go back to what you were as a kid in grade school. And remember when the teacher came up and asked you to do the math problem on the board?
Yeah.
And there was kids that could do that without thinking about it. And other kids, they were terrified of that.
Oh, I was hoping the teacher wouldn't call on me if it comes to math.
You know, in the sports industry, we call that playing right field. Remember back in Little League? You could hit the ball, but you couldn't field at all, so they put you out in right field.
Yep.
And you never, because that was where they didn't hit the ball very often.
And you would say, please don't let a ball come my way.
Don't let it come to me. But see, so those are the things that it's still, we're still those people. That part of us hasn't changed. All of our little fears, all of our inhibitions, they don't change with us. So creating an atmosphere where people can operate within their comfort zone allows the best of them to come out.
And
that's fun. It really is.
Take a break right here. We're speaking with legendary coach Jeff Skurin. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be back with the coach right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
On average, the Regional Transportation Authority annually contributes over $100 million to regional transportation improvements to supplement limited federal and state funds. This critical funding source provides funding for nearly two-thirds of our region's needed transportation improvements through its 2006 voter-approved half-cent sales tax. To receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development, visit rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome Welcome back. It is the Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Our one-on-one guest, bringing him back, it's been a long time, actually, about a year, Coach Jeff Skurin, a legendary coach, one of the most successful college, high school and junior college coaches in U.S. history, really. Coach, tell me a little bit about, is there still as much interest in high school football?
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's really growing, and it's growing for a variety of reasons. There's not one reason. You know, of course, in the upcoming Olympics in Los Angeles, they're about to have flag football become a trial Olympic sport for the first time for both men and women. And the women's part of it is really booming. You see it now in Arizona. We have not every school has it, but more and more are getting it, and it's actually very good. In the World Championships this last summer, we won both the men's and women's in Helsinki, Finland. 76 countries in the world now play what they call American football.
Hmm.
Football, of course, F-U-T-B-O-L, is soccer in the world, but football is, you know, and of course, everywhere I go and do clinics like I did this summer, you know, they always ask me, why do they call it football?
Uh-huh.
but still, it's a growing sport, and I think it's starting to come back, and for a variety of reasons. Kids like to belong. There's a lot of things that could be taught through a team sport, and it's not just football that's coming back. Sports participation is coming back. Interest in the Olympics was off the charts this last time. Special Olympics, those types of things, women's sports and the attention in women's sports, what the Caitlin Clark phenomena, which I think basketball was growing, and she's just been kind of a shot of adrenaline in the arm for women's basketball. And you see the TV ratings and the money's going up, and the whole thing is growing. And it's for a variety of reasons, but one of the reasons that I personally enjoy the most is the fact that it's a team, it's communication, it's face to face, it's interaction, it's fun. I mean, we have somehow accidentally or on purpose grasped the concept that sports are supposed to be fun. And a lot of kids go out there, and coaches have gotten better. We're starting kids at a younger age. I'm not a fan of the specialization. I like the variety of athletics. But more and more kids are getting involved, and it's great to see.
But it's also very dangerous football, especially for young kids.
There's no question about that. You know, I use the word judicious. And, you know, equipment's improved, teachers improved, but people got to understand that it's a dangerous sport. Mm-hmm. However, you know, it's very tough discussion when you've got kids running around legally with ARs or illegally with ARs and finding loopholes. You know, there's a lot that's dangerous. That doesn't mean matter of fact, we're getting a lot better at understanding the dangers of football and contact sports in general. I mean, you've got rugby, you've got wrestling, you can go out and it's just still kids out there riding a bike without a helmet when we know that could be, you know, motorcycles. Look in a lot of states, you know, you see that. Football is kind of a cultural thing, and there's this kind of acceptance of known risk. And, yes, stuff can happen. But, you know, we're changing the culture a little bit. There's equipment out there. It's just very expensive right now.
The helmets are getting much better.
They could change a lot. We just got to be smarter about this stuff. You know, I see coaching at the youth levels, and I see the good, bad, and the ugly.
How young should the kids be involved? There's got to be a point where you probably would say the kids shouldn't be involved with tackle football at a real young age, correct?
Yes, but Bill, I'm not going to avoid that question, but okay. I want to stay in my lane. I'm not a neurologist.
Okay.
I'm not a doctor here. I'm a coach. Okay. And I love football, and it changed my life. It really did. And it's changed the life of so many people under my tutelage and that have taught them certain values. And, yes, there is inherent risk. And we just have to be smart about what we do. You know, there's every kid's a little bit different, but, you know, so much with the rules, with the enforcement, with the coaching, with the equipment, there's so much that we can do on the positive side. But anybody who says, nah, about the risk, they should be out of the conversation automatically. It is a high-risk sport. But we have to be smart about what we do.
Our Monday one-on-one is with Jeff Skurin, one of the winningest football coaches in America, remarkable record he has put together, a high school and a college coach, 300-plus wins, named Coach of the Year 15 times in four states, state all-star coach four times. He won 18 league championships, engineered some incredible turnaround seasons. So do you think, are you itching to get back? I know you did a great tour of Europe teaching quarterbacks, right?
Right,
you had the quarterback camp. Do you miss being on the sideline?
Very much.
You do.
And anybody who had a long career in the sport that says otherwise is just trying to justify it to themselves. There are times I actually go through depression over it. It's just one of those things. You take away something. It could be a person. It could be an occupation. It could be just anything that's been such a part of you. I received a very, very nice note recently from Cheryl Smith, the wife of longtime Arizona coach Larry Smith.
Sure.
And she said, she said to me, "Hey, coach, you've got a family. You've got other things. Don't let your football career define you alone." I've been thinking a lot about that. But you know, on the other side, it's who I was. It's who I am.
Sure,
it's part of how I was developed personally. Having the right people by my side, having the right mentors and the right tutors. And I'm not a person that idolizes other people. I want to be around people that taught me things, and I wanted to be that person. I kind of liken it to that. Forget the football. Forget the winning. You know, those types of things. Yeah. They were great. They're fun at the moment. But more than anything else, I'm the guy that takes the pebble. And the pebble's a person. Mm-hmm. And I take that pebble and I throw it out into the pond.
Yeah.
And in the smooth pond, and it makes ripples. Mm-hmm. And those ripples go off to distant shores. And those are my guys. Those are my girls that I coached in sports. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that I was close to, the assistant coaches, and that I've helped along the way, the people that I've counseled in my job, the people that I've taught as an instructor.
And that's so gratifying, because you keep in touch with so many of these, hundreds of your
thousands,
former,
actually, thousands. Facebook's, social media that's got a lot of dangers, but that's been one of the good sides.
Yeah, keeping in touch with these people
and watching.
You've made a difference in so many lives, coach.
And that's where it comes back. Yeah. And yes, I can't help it. I miss that. That's the drug.
Yeah.
That's the shot in my arm.
Sure.
I miss that on a daily basis.
I get it.
And when I go out and I coach a kid individually, people call me the quarterback whisperer.
Uh-huh.
Because I put my arm around them and I teach them more than throwing a football.
Right.
I teach them how to win at life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I go out public speaking and I work as a consultant.
Yeah.
Don't hire me if that's what you're not trying to do. And it's done one person at a time. It's done one day at a time. And we can't get away from that. And I miss that terribly.
And you love travel. You and I share that. You love to see the world.
Well, that's how we learn. I have great suspicions for people that come up with absolutes that haven't been out of their own backyard. You know, you get a chance to learn and see. There are things, I taught advanced placement history for a long time. And I still love history. Mm. But, there are times when I've gone to places and wrote back the first time. And I taught about that before. From other people taught me, and I did my research. I'd loaned it out of books. But then when I went there and I saw the people and I talked to the people, I came back. One time I wrote a letter to my class after going to Israel, Egypt, Greece, and Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the Middle East up close and personal. Mm-hmm. And I saw the Arabs and Israelis getting along together, mm-hmm. and how it can work in mm-hmm. peaceful times. And I've been to war-torn areas. And I've been out to places, that you see where Hannibal took the elephants over the Brenner Pass. And you get there and you just go, how did they do that?
Yeah.
And then if you have the inquisitive mind, you look into that and you research it and you see what history tells us, keeping in mind that history was written by the victors.
Yeah.
So we don't even get through history. We don't get the full thing. Mm-hmm. But somehow going out there and seeing for yourself and tasting the food and drinking in the culture, if you will, and going to the museums and learning it through their art, their music, and their storytelling, somehow it changes who you are inside and gives you a greater understanding of us. Us meaning humankind. Not us Americans, not us football coaches, us human beings.
Quick plug for your charity that you do on the border.
Yeah, it's a small-time deal, but, you know, I believe that sports has impacted so many people in my life. And so I started this thing about 12 years ago from a friend who just said, why'd you pick Mexico? Why'd you pick Agua Prieta? And it has now expanded. But they asked me. That was the reason. They came to me and asked me, hey, could you help us? And at the time, I had time, and I had some connections, some friends, and I raised this equipment. We went down, and we made the difference in the lives of hundreds of kids. And I've been back many times now, and my friends have helped me, and I go online, I do GoFundMe. And again, it's three
and
to
you
five
get the kids. Sports equipment.
Yeah, because a lot of these kids
shoes,
soccer balls, sure. Boxing gloves. Uh-huh. I mean, I was working with this kid last month that was in a gang, and they wanted him to kill people.
Oh boy!
And he took up boxing instead. And now he's fighting professionally. He's making a living. It's changed his life. He's got a girlfriend. He's taking care of his children from out of marriage. It's changed the person he is. Being involved, having the right coaching mentor around him, and that's what I want to do. And that still comes back to me. It's sometimes I got to be careful going across the line. You know, it's life's reality. You know, yeah. you just don't pick up and go. And sometimes I got to give money to the people at the border, even though I'm bringing equipment for their children.
Sure.
They still have to, you know the deal. You got
a little bit of a gratuity there.
Yeah, you got to give them the tip to get the stuff across. And it's just, and you live and learn. But then you go across and you see the lives they have, and you see how a few dollars and a little bit of attention can change the lives of kids. And that's, I left law school to become a difference maker in the lives of young men and women, and I have no regrets.
Great. Coach Skurin, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Great catching
always
up with
great
you.
Great to see you with you, Mark.
Our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
And speaking of green things, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, Green Things 3384 East River Road, in their 53rd year of business, and they're open daily. GreenThingsAZ.com, their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com. For our telephone interviews, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. At least once a month, we do our border report, usually the first Monday of the month. However, the first Monday of the month, we were not here with a live show because it was Labor Day. So today is the start of our monthly border report, hosted by longtime border observer and reporter Keith Rosenblum. Keith, how are you, sir?
Just want to graduate beyond border observer. I don't know what to do.
Well,
I want to be good. I want something more.
Well, let me tell.
I'm observing the border. I'm not denying that I observe, but I just want some special status.
What's
the Bill Buckmaster equivalent of being knighted?
I didn't give the full resume, and of course, you did work for the Arizona Daily Star. You worked for the Arizona Republic. You were a former congressional aide to the late U.S. Representative Jim Colby. You were with.
Well, while you're on the topic of Jim Colby, I'll talk about that. I'll talk about him for 1 second on a topic that has zilch to do with Mexico. Is that okay?
Okay, but let me finish the resume. You're also a former fellow at the University of California, San Diego, their Center for U.S. Mexican Studies, and I was going to say that Congressman Colby was almost 22 years as our congressional representative in this area. Go ahead with your story about the congressman.
Well, as you don't remember, because not many people would really care about this topic, Jim Colby wanted to get rid of our pennies.
Well, I kind of remember that.
It was a strange issue, and every time it came up, we had a laugh in the office. And I was thinking about Jim yesterday. He came back to me and said, Keith, this is the fruits of my effort. The New York Times Magazine yesterday has a cover story called We Must Get Rid of the Pennies or something like that. And I thought maybe Jim has come back to pursue this issue because – as best I could tell, and because I don't really care about the topic, and none of us did in the office at that time, I did not read the story either. I read the first few paragraphs and said, this is not a Keith Rosenblum read. But that, I don't know what the influence was. I'm sure there were lobbyists or somebody behind that. I don't know that Jim, why he would care about that topic. In fact, that actually might be a story in and of itself, is why did Jim Colby care about getting rid of the penny? Maybe because the penny cost more than a penny to make. That might have been why, because Jim was frugal to the max. Jim was the only person that actually, when we went to do interviews, Bill, including you at KUAT on campus, when we went to do things, Jim was the only human I've ever known who charted mileage to the tenth of a mile.
What?
This would be to submit to the House of Representatives, who I'm sure give a damn. It would say, for example, from the office, you know, Swan and Glenn.
Yeah.
Or to U of A campus, it would say, you know, 4.9 miles. And he got whatever it was, a quarter per mile back from it. And he was fastidious about that. I mean, he talk about somebody who would, you know, I mean, it's a given that people cheat on their expense accounts. Am I correct? And I can go that far to say that it's a given that a lot of people, maybe 99% of people, cheat on their expense accounts.
Yeah.
I can tell the people of Arizona, of Southern Arizona, as far as your signal reaches, that Jim Colby never cheated on his expense accounts. He was meticulous.
Wow. Something we have learned about about Jim. Thank you for that.
And probably more than you'll learn about Mexico from me today.
Well,
I'll give it a shot.
There's a pretty darn big story out of Mexico. LA Times, the headline today, Mexico is in turmoil over a radical constitutional change that is pushed by the president during his last days in office. And the article basically is saying that the president could be taking victory laps, but instead has just opened this huge can of worms.
He has, and I know that, and this is actually the one topic that I'm prepared to talk about today and know a lot about. I am the go-to person between Ina Road and Valencia who can talk about this topic with absolute brilliance.
Okay.
It goes like this. The Morena Party, which is the party that President López Obrador, who has 1 month left to go, actually has less, he has 3 weeks, founded. And the party just won the House of Representatives. It won the Senate as well. And now, in the last power grab that this guy could do to see what he can do to eliminate democracy as Mexicans know it, is to get the judiciary elected by popular vote instead of a process of appointment and study and advise and consent. And what's happened is this has broken down along party lines. When the Cámara de Diputados, which is the House of Representatives of Mexico, the two-thirds majority is way past that, and it sailed through the chamber. Now, the Senate is made up of 128 members, and in order to get through the Senate, they're one vote shy. Mm. They have, if you do your math, which I failed, but I've asked other people to help me, you will see that 85 to get two-thirds of 80 of 128 is 85 and a fraction. Well, guess what? Mm. That fraction is what separates Morena from also winning over having the two-thirds in the Senate, one senator. And it is the whole country right now is just watching. This is like a major breakwater for the country. If they get that final senator, then the last dominion of Mexico that is not Morena is going to become it. So that will be it. Morena will be in that. The judiciary will be in the hands of the Morena Party. And you will not that I don't like the Mexican judicial system today is nothing to applaud. It's a pretty miserable system in and of itself. But that's nothing compared to what it will become if it becomes politicized with Morena calling the shots. And so with that one senator defecting, because right now there's 43 members, do your math, of the Senate. So subtract 143 from one, I'm sorry, subtract 43 from 128, you get 85, right?
Yeah.
You need 86. To complete it. And what would happen is, so I can explain the context for this, the proposals for control of the judiciary would basically eliminate everything they have right now, would erase the current judicial system as we know it, and it would make entirely subject to political approval the judiciary. It would be a horrid mistake. Democracy, as we know, as the Mexicans know it, will vanish if that happens. And I told you this in September of 2024. So when we're doing the show again in September of 2034, Keith will be able to say, remember when Mexico was not a dictatorship or an authoritarian regime?
Every judge in the country, including members of the Supreme Court, would have to stand for election if this goes through. Some might say it's more democratic that way?
They might have a good case if the public, first of all, they would not have a good case, no. So let's start off. At some of the lower levels, as we elect JPs and county courts, but we don't vote for our Supreme Court. We don't vote for our Court of Appeals. And we're accustomed to it. And we have a system that's not threatened by a lawlessness that permeates society and would actually itself be able to posit judges for election. Right now, the Mexican judiciary has a semblance of independence. It will not if this passes. That's all. I'm not saying the system is a good one. It is not the envy of the free world, but it ain't bad. Mm-hmm. You can still have judges reversing governmental decisions. You can still have judges holding on to people, granting amparos, injunctions against government or against others. If you allow local control of voting to cover the gamut of judicial designations, then you will have a free-for-all, and I will be running for a Superior Court judge tomorrow in Mexico and doing lots of favors for lots of people.
Mm-hmm. So the parties would have a huge say in who gets elected then, right?
Absolutely. You nailed it. And it would be – it's a cumbersome system. You would have thousands of people on the ballot. You don't know them. Do you want people from your neighborhood running and saying, yeah, I kind of like that guy? It would be an impossible ballot initiative to look at in the first place.
Hmm.
I've read a little bit about all the methodologies. It's a nightmare. And the party would be deciding. The party would be deciding who the candidates could be, who's going to be on the ballot. And then, yeah, the public can vote. But they'll be voting from – it would be as if the Republican Party designated who they would like to be the Superior Court judges of, you know, Pima, La Paz, Santa Cruz, Maricopa, you know, Coconina counties. And now we're free to vote.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, you know, now we're free to vote from among the people that have been screened and vetted and approved by the Republican Party. So, no, it would be a nightmare. And that's why, by the way, let's make some connections here. Last time Bill and Keith spoke, not last time, but prior to the last time, the peso, I believe, was at 15 and a half or 16 to the dollar.
Yeah.
And today the peso is hovering right at 20. That is not a happenstance of buy and sell. That is because foreigners have already taken that into account in their investments. It's like, do we really want to go to a country where we're going to have, this would be, how can I say this? If you were Mexican or black or Asian and you were living in Selma or Birmingham or Nashville or lots of places in the United States in the 1930s or 40s, and people said, oh, sure, you can get a fair trial there. Not sure. I'm just not sure that you would.
Yeah.
And so that is where we're headed. Or that's where Mexico is headed if she doesn't reject this. And there's a single vote in the Senate right now that is the difference between this occurring and not occurring. And that's why the peso's dropped 20 some odd percent in the last months.
The peso has plunged to its lowest rate against the dollar in nearly 2 years. So there you go. Keith, we're going to take a break right here. More on this when we come back. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
2006, Pima County voters approved the Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year Regional Transportation Plan, half-cent sales tax. They're both effective through June 30th, 2026. The region to receive continued funding for another 20 years. RTA is developing a new plan and tax extension for voter consideration. Public input will be key. Receive updates on a new 20-year plan in development. Visit rtanext.com.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. This portion of the program presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. A ton of stuff to do. It's a great time of year as we transition from summer to fall on the Land of Enchantment. Website is southwestnewmexico.org. Only about a three-hour drive from the Tucson area over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We continue our conversation with our border reporter. It is our border report, Keith Rosenblum, with us. Keith, some are questioning why a Lopez Obrador is using the final days in office to push this divisive measure that will saddle his successor, Claudia Sheinbaum, who will be sworn in like 3 weeks, with a host of these issues.
Well, the day that you decide to close your microphone, you may still hanker to influence people in Tucson. Not so much influence them, but inform them. It goes with the turf with Lopez Obrador. He is a messianic figure, as many in politics are. He believes this is the right way. And when I say messianic, actually, let me focus on that for a second, because I'm right. There are people who are leaders and who say this is the way politics was supposed to be. Like, hey, we really like Bill's opinions. Let's go ahead and draft him to run for office. And then Bill goes in front of a Rotary Club or a Kiwanis Club or a school board, whatever he goes to, and says, here's what Bill thinks. And people say, I really like you, Bill. He goes, go ahead, let's draft. And then at the election, you lose or you win, and people say, Bill, that was it. We're not ready for you. You were not a loser. You just weren't ready for what you were postulating, right? Then there's the professional class of politicians that is in this for a career, in it for influence, in it for power. And then there's another strain of that that's in it because there really is a messianic streak to them, and that's where Lopez Obrador is. He's a man of process. That's him. I believe he's a very lonesome guy as well, and so politics is everything. I don't think that once he leaves office, he'll be able to stay out. He's said that once he leaves, he won't be coming back. He's going to go to his ranch. He's going to hang out. Not so. I believe that power, having been in these circles myself and seen people, power is entirely addictive. It is. And so, and you start to see things. So you have both a power for power's sake, and you have power for ideology's sake, and even religious. And I've watched Lopez Obrador for 6 years now. You and I have been speaking over the last 6 years, and I've told you, Bill, I should be institutionalized. I'm watching the 900th and then the 2000th press conference, and I believe you said, Keith, maybe we need to take you off the air because you are coming unglued. And I've watched him become increasingly a megalomaniac and increasingly messianic, and that is the word to use with him. So it doesn't matter. He's in his final 3 weeks, but that really is irrelevant. Even from the sidelines, I believe he'll be participating. And it's not done deliberately to shackle Claudia Sheinbaum or to make him do something divisive. It's because this guy does fancy himself as man of the people. He reminds me increasingly of a more temperate or a more controlled or disciplined Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, and who you know gave way to Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. And these people become convinced that they are there by divine selection more than by vote, and they start to walk that walk. They actually, if you said to them, and this is your kind of a little mini course in narcissism, if you said, do you think the world revolves around you and that we are all actors, they would answer yes. And I don't say that in a negative way. I say that in a clinical way. They would answer yes, the world is built around me. And that's what happens to them. That's what happened to Lopez Obrador. And Claudia Sheinbaum, I think, is a very accomplished, very decent woman who's been put in a horrible position, which is to become a little mini parrot, a little mini me of Lopez Obrador. It'll be interesting to see what, if she has her own mind and her own ability to do anything, but it won't happen for 2 years anyway, because that's how long the absolute influence of Lopez Obrador will last anyway, in the two Congresses and maybe even the judiciary now.
So they need one more vote in the Senate. What if they don't get it here and we're going to be up against the inauguration in 3 weeks?
Oh, that then we can do a little victory dance, I think, because at least there will be a little vestige of opposition left in the country. And that will be a very good thing, because that creates opportunities for people to say, hasta acá, up until here, don't go any farther. And so I believe that would be a great thing if they're able to stem this. There's no guarantee any of those, if one of those senators doesn't make it to the Senate on time, then the two-thirds thing means that even if they, if he's not there on time, just statistically, it now goes in favor of Morena as well. All it takes is someone not showing. Forget about not voting for with the opposition. So to me, it would be super dangerous, and this will be determined between today, tomorrow, I think, and Wednesday. I'm not sure when the vote is scheduled for, but keep your fingers crossed, because this will be and by the way, I actually think there's a lot of people in Morena who, as people who are supportive of Donald Trump, which they are actually secretly hoping it doesn't pass, but you need to ride the wave or you'll be ostracized and, demonized. And so I believe that in Mexico, there's an awful lot of people who are being forced to toe the Lopez Obrador / Morena line, but privately are hoping this thing does not pass.
And currently the judges are appointed?
Yes. There's a process in Mexico where the Supreme Court, very much like us, were advised and consent, with a nomination. I'm blanking on this, I think there's 15 members of their Supreme Court, and there's a whole slew of appeals court and a whole slew of the equivalent of state or superior. They have the same system that we do when it comes to state and federal systems. And then there's also local judges as well. But it is not currently in the hands of the populace. It's in the hands of the electorate and the populace, and then a vote among people who are, again, consent and advise, like our Senate does, where people who know about the system elect impartial judges. We used to, people who haven't followed, who follow the Supreme Court, we used to have lots of presidents appointing people who were not necessarily ideologically aligned with them, but were just considered to be good jurists, people who knew the Constitution and who were ready to administer justice, not because they were on the president's side,
all right,
but because they were considered to be prestigious.
All right, Keith, going to have left to leave it there. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of Keith and John Engineering and Producing, Bill Buckmaster, wishing everybody well.